Thank you for joining us. Here at VLC, our purpose is helping people discover and develop a life in Christ. Now, here is Pastor Gary Toney.
Hey, good to see you guys. Welcome, online family. Glad you guys are with us tonight. We are going to wrap up this series that we've been in the book of Daniel. So I've got three chapters to get through tonight, so I need you to help me stay focused. Y'all okay? All right, then. All right. Sometimes on Wednesdays, we're all hustling to get in here and get things going. And so I'm glad that you take time to come listen to the word. And so let's pray, and we'll get right into things. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the privilege of being able to gather together. We want to make sure that all of our online family is hooked up with us and believing with us. And so tonight, open the eyes of our spirit. God, speak to us, give us truth, give us some just simple encouragement out of this book that allows us to be steady through uncertainties, to be people of faith, to bring honor to you, and to advance your kingdom. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, we're going into chapter 10 of the book of Daniel. And now, understand what I'm doing in this book, because I want you to realize something, guys. There are professors, there are scholars that spend half of their career in this book. And so what I'm doing is just giving you just a little glimpse into some of this. Because here's the thing, one of the things I've discovered in my time is that these professionals that spend their life doing this disagree on certain areas of this, you know. And a big part of this, with the visions that Daniel has had, and like we've said throughout the talk, it's really the same vision with different symbolisms throughout the book. And that continues through chapters 10, 11, and 12. But chapter 10 is unique in the story of Daniel. Let me set this up a little bit. By this time in the history of what's going on in the book of Daniel, Daniel's roughly in his late 80s. He's pushing 90 at this time. And now another king is on the throne, and King Cyrus is ruling. But the cool thing is, now at this time in history, he's allowed the Jewish people to go back home. And so some of them have made the journey back. Others are still there. Daniel is still living in the region there where it's been under different empires. But I believe that Daniel had an influence into the leadership, and God kept him there. And that's something that you and I have to keep in mind, is that many times, regardless of the leadership that might be in office, whatever it might be, as people of God, we still have a role to play. Are you with me? And that role is not necessarily complaining. Right? Paul says that we are to pray for those who are in authority. Pray for them. Yeah. And so Daniel in chapter 10, once again, he has another visitation, and during this vision, he sees another more in-depth, really, the devastation that the people of God, that the children of Israel are going to go through. But once again, it's in the last days that they're going to do this. And in chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no food, no meat. No wine came in my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till the 3 weeks were fulfilled. Basically, Daniel is fasting. He's interceding for his people from what he has seen that is coming to pass in the future. He has been devastated by this, and he is praying for the nation of Israel. This is the thing that you and I have to get this evening, that one of the key lessons out of Daniel, we now more than any other time in history, we need to be praying for our nation. You know, I think I told you this on Sunday. For me as a pastor, most of my prayer time is about what we're doing as a local church, about you all as a congregation. But one day last week in my prayer time, I'm praying about this, and the Lord checked me. And not that I heard a voice, you understand, but in my spirit, I knew that the Lord was dealing with me. Son, I've authorized you to do more than pray for your church. And then he said, I want you praying, not because I'll pray for my city. He said, I'm not wanting just city. I'm not wanting just state. I want you praying for this nation like Daniel prayed for the nation of Israel. And it resonated in my spirit to such a degree that I rose up and began, and I'm going to show you some of these principles in chapter 10. You see, one of the most recognizable qualities that you will learn, and I know we're all at different places in our journey. And I realize that some believers are not at the place where they're going to practice fasting yet. And that's okay. But other people are at different places, and you've tried some of this, and this is a discipline that God has made available for the believer. And one of the most recognizable qualities of fasting is this humble, focused, reverent state of awareness that you will have with God. Understand me tonight, those of you watching, listen very carefully. Fasting does not move God. Make no mistake about it. I know you may have read someone's book and they fasted and God did something. Yeah, that God probably will do things, but fasting doesn't move God. It changes us. That's what fasting does. And I know some of y'all may not agree with this, but you got a Bible. Prove it out for yourself. Don't just assume. Never assume I'm right. I'll tell you guys this all the time. Maybe you're new watching tonight. You have a Bible. I think that's one of the biggest things that church people do. We just assume preachers are right. Well, preachers are just like y'all. We're just people that's called to stand in front of you and do something different, and then you all judge us for what we do. Good or bad, that's our role. But we can miss it just like you can miss it. Are you with me? So fasting, what it does is it separates the carnality. It removes the human side of who you are as a born-again believer. It reinforces with confidence our readiness to not only recognize and acknowledge where God is leading you, but to have the boldness to step out and do it. It's one thing to hear from the Lord. It's another thing to step out and do what he's leading you to do. And see, Daniel is in this state of mourning, this state of fasting, and over this vision that he got. And he lets us know that there's times of trouble. Actually, Daniel chapter 11 and 12 both highlight that there will be a time of trouble like never before on the planet for the children of Israel. As you move into chapter 40, you see some of these things highlighted, some of the destruction that will unfold in the last days through Russia, through an Arab federation that will come together in the Persian region, which is modern-day Iran. Now, when you read about this in the Bible, you also see in chapter 11 the coalition of Russia and China. And we'll touch on those things in a little bit. But the thing I want you to see tonight, at this point in Daniel's revelation that he's seeing some of these things, Gabriel is kind of helping Daniel. Now, it's interesting. We were talking with our staff today about Gabriel and about angels, really, and how often they spoke to people before the cross. After the cross, angels are still at work, but now the Holy Spirit lives inside us. God doesn't have to send us an angel to give us a message. The Holy Spirit can speak to you directly. Not that angels are any less effective and are not, they're still here right now, still accomplishing, still working on the behalf of the righteous. But in this particular chapter, Gabriel gives Daniel some insight into a completely different dimension of the things of God. Watch this, Daniel chapter 10. We'll pick up in verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and in the palms of my hand. And he said, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. Stand up, for I have now been sent to you. Now remember, Daniel is praying for his people. And while he was speaking these words to me, I stood up trembling. So I know you all think, man, I wish I could see one. You better learn something here. Daniel, this is not his first encounter. And once again, he stands up and he's still trembling. And then he said, the angel said, don't fear, Daniel, for from the first day. Now, remember, we just talked about how many days was Daniel fasting and praying? 21. 21 days. And he says, Daniel, from the first day that you set your word or set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words were heard. What day? First day. And Gabriel says, and I have come because of your words. Now watch this. Hebrews chapter 1 lets us know that angels are ministering spirits that are here present today to minister on behalf of the righteous. And it goes on to say that these ministering spirits, they respond to God's words spoken out of one of his children's mouth. Now, you can't tell an angel what to do. Don't try that dumb stuff. I've read people's weird books. That's not what the Bible teaches. But angels stand ready right now to respond to the word of God spoken out of the mouth of a believer. And so this is what's taking place in a different dimension. I need you to see what's happening here. Daniel is on the planet praying for people that's going to be persecuted in our day. And he has no idea he's praying for us today, for the children of Israel, not for the church. And Gabriel says, on your first day that your prayer went forth, it was heard, and I was sent because of your words. Watch this, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. How many days was Daniel fasting and praying? 21. And he's saying that this prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, Michael is an archangel, if you do a little bit more study. He came to help me, for I had been left alone with the king of Persia. Now, let's take a minute here. Gabriel, the angel, is not talking about a prince on the planet. Even though the prince of Persia is a spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that Paul, if y'all are doing your homework on Sundays out of the book of Ephesians chapter 6, there are principalities and powers, there are rulers of darkness, there's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The prince of Persia is a spiritual force in a heavenly place that's influencing a prince on this planet. And what you all have to understand, this is why Paul says our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's with these principalities and powers. It's with these rulers of darkness. And one of the clearest biblical examples that you see is in the book of Daniel of how there is something going on in the heavenlies. Verse 18. Then again, one having the likeness of the man touched me. He's talking about the angel again. And he said, man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. Does this remind you of Ephesians 6 at all? Yeah. So when he spoke to me, I was straightened, and he said, let my Lord speak, for you strengthen me. And then he said, do you know why I've come? I know I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. See, he's letting him know. He's showing him there's something going on. I've left you. Michael, the archangel's doing battle with him right now. I had to come bring you this message, Daniel, to let you know that when you started praying, I was commissioned the very first day, but I was interfered with in the spirit world. See, some of you all, you send a prayer up to God, and nothing happens right away. And in the religious church world that we live in, because God's in control of everything and it must be God's will, we just automatically assume, well, God just didn't want that to happen. What if, I need you to wrap your head around this tonight. What if God responded the moment you prayed because you are a person of God? You're a person of faith. But there was interference going on in the heavenlies. And 1 week went by. 2 weeks went by. And you didn't see anything and you got frustrated and quit. Huh? Our words. What did the angel tell Daniel? I have been sent in response to your words. Guys, words, now I know we use them as communication in our humanity, but listen very carefully. You are born again people. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, why are you acting like mere humans? He says, I can't even talk to you all as spiritual people. And then he throws out this big, deep theological word, because you're babies. Right? We don't want to hear stuff like that, though, do we? Because we've arrived and we're intellectual and theological and hermeneutical, and sometimes we're babies. Right? He says, I've got to go back and fight the prince of Persia. And when I've gone forth, indeed, then the prince of Greece is coming. Guys, I want you to get this. Throughout the world, kingdoms, governments, regions, and especially cities have been and are currently being influenced by rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places right now. You can watch in our nation. There are cities in our nation. And I know some of us, we want to get mad and blame the local leader, et cetera, et cetera. I want you to stop that. Listen. I want you to stop that. We are people of God, and at some point, we actually have to be people of God. Let's not conform to the world. Let's be who God has called us to be. Isaiah chapter 14, I want to set this up, because in the New Testament now, you have to realize, even though there are still battles that take place in the unseen world, the kingdom of darkness in and of itself, Satan himself, has been defeated. Okay? But now, you need to learn some of this. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken nations. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I'll sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north, and I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I'll be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to the pit of death, to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. In other words, to hell. He exalted himself. You understand what you and I, who you and I know as Satan today, was at one point an archangel Lucifer that stood in the presence of the Almighty. And like that, was eliminated from the realms of heaven. And he took, and we don't know numbers of this, how many angels he took with him, but there is what is known as fallen angels, or you and I would call them, this group of angels that Lucifer deceived and took with him are the demon spirits. This is what Ephesians 6, Paul talks about, the principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. These are those fallen angels that Lucifer took with him when he was cast down to the earth. Jesus in Luke chapter 10, he says this about Satan, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. See, in the bigger picture of things, unless there is an opposition, you don't even need faith. Unless there is another choice, free will, it doesn't really exist because there's no choice. God wanted a people that would freely choose him. I know a lot of people teach that God's the great puppet master in the sky in control of everything, but that's just not true. That's not biblical. In the larger scope, yeah, he holds the universe in the palm of his hand, but the psalmist said that the earth he has given to us, to mankind, and mankind through the deception of Adam gave that authority to Satan. And now Satan, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is the god of this world. Even though he's been defeated, even though the kingdom of darkness has been overrun by God, understand this, Satan still, let me read, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 it says, even if our gospel is, this is Paul, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that word age is this world system, has blinded. You see, Jesus refers to in his teachings as Satan as the prince of this world. In John chapter 12, he says that the prince of this world has been judged. The apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 refers to Satan as the prince of the power of the air. And see, what one of the main focuses of the revelation out of Daniel chapter 10 is that we have to look at what took place in that battle in the heavenlies, and you and I today have to interpret that through the lens of the new covenant. We're born again people. And something I want you to think about, I'm reminded of the story in Kings about Elisha and his servant when the city is surrounded. And his servant goes out and says, "Master, what should we do?" And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes." Well, I think he was already seeing because he saw that he was surrounded. So what eyes needed to be opened? Spiritual eyes. And Elisha makes this statement. He says, "There are more with us." See, I can't find anything in the scripture that indicates that angels or demons, either one, reproduce. So the same amount of demons that was in Genesis is the same amount that's here now. And I'm telling you, there's more Christians now. The problem is, we don't know it. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus says, "Behold, I give you," who's he talking to? Disciples, us. "I give you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me. Now I'm telling you, go in that authority and you make followers, you make disciples, and you teach them to observe to do all the things I taught you to do." You see, what you and I have to do now in chapter 10, we have to look at chapter 10 and interpret that in light of the New Testament. We have to exercise our authority. Jesus said this: "Whatever you bind on earth is bound," where? "In heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." So let me give you an example. As I was praying the other day, and the Lord kind of dealt with me about praying for the nation. So I went to Daniel chapter 10 because I've been studying on this. I didn't actually turn to it. I just, in my spirit, I'm like, okay. And so immediately I addressed the prince. Oh, and I just took one city. You all know New York has lost their mind right now. And so I took one city at a time. And I took authority over the prince governing the influences of that city. Come on. Now you can't just do this because your preacher said it. You've got to have a revelation of this in your spirit. You have to know your authority and who you are. You don't have authority over people. That's manipulation. That's demonic stuff. But you do have authority in the spirit world. And the moment that you commission things to take place, angels respond. And when you bind the powers of darkness, there will be no battle between Michael and the prince of Persia because you bound him up from doing anything. You remember the story when Jesus went across the lake and he come to the demoniac of the Gerasene and he said, "Who are you?" He said, "We are legion." Well, they vary in numbers on how many a legion is, from 500 to in the thousands. So theoretically, one human could house 1,000 demons because it's different dimensional. Are you with me? They don't need space as you and I. They don't need time as. Are y'all okay? Is this? I'm not going too far, Emma. Okay. And Jesus, you know, they begin to beg Jesus, "Don't," because they know who Jesus is. You remember the sons of Sceva? We'll come back to the legion in a minute, but the sons of Sceva, these were guys that thought they were something they're not. And they said, "In the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, I rebuke you, demon." And they whipped him. They said, "Paul, we know. Jesus, know him too. But you?" So don't play games with this stuff, all right? So Jesus is standing there, and they're like, "Don't do it, don't do it. Send us into the pigs." Remember the story? So he cast out the demons into the pigs, and then the pigs ran down the cliff. Now, this is just my theory on this, okay? This is not doctrine. But I believe that when he sent them into that pig's body, they were bound to that pig's body, and that pig went into the ocean and sank to the bottom of the sea, and that's where they stayed. Those demons stayed trapped in those pigs' bodies at the bottom of the ocean. You got to understand who you are. The church, we've been living in this little bubble, singing kumbaya, just waiting on Jesus to come back. And that's not, Ephesians chapter 6 will blow your mind when you know who you are. Now remember, I always tell you, don't be that weird hyper-spiritual Christian, fighting demons and doing battle. No. Don't be that person. You have the authority. What you have to do is sit at the feet of Jesus long enough till you know who you are. Can I help you a little bit more? And then we'll move on to chapter 11. Volume doesn't mean strength in the spirit. Some people, they just want to scream at the devil. Quit. You don't have to be loud. Your voice is, you know, or the response, the power has nothing to do with volume. The Bible says in James that a fervent, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. And then he goes right into the example where he takes us back to Elisha, and Elisha stopped. He changed the climate of an entire nation with one prayer, and it stopped raining, just like that. We don't know who we are, but we're going to get it. Huh? Line up on line, we're going to learn this stuff, and then we're going to put a stop to some of this nonsense. And you're not going to have some crazy protest and act like an idiot, burning buildings and, you know, screaming at police officers. None of that nonsense. You watching me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Right? Tell him, Miss Betty. Don't get Miss Betty started, y'all. I'm just telling you. All right, come on. I've got to stay focused. I told y'all to help me with this. Chapter 11 now. You move into chapter 11. It's weird how you have chapter 10 and it's just plucked out of that to give us this special revelation of what's going on in a different dimension. And then we go right back into Daniel's visions again. And in chapter 11, it really just kind of serves as a recap, if you will, of events that's going to unfold. And let me say this. Primarily, 11 covers the Greek and Persian empires throughout history. But it also takes us to the end. But let me say this. If all you do when you read your Bible is read it from a historical perspective, you will miss revelation from the Father. Because there's so much more going on than just information here. In chapter 11, especially when you get into the latter part of it, you begin to see some of the latter day events that will take place. From 36 on down through verses 45, one of the things you see is the birth of the revised Roman Empire. And now, let me, I don't want to get too end times on you because people just get, huh? But in 1981, because remember, the angel told Gabriel or told Daniel to seal this book up till the time of the end. And some of the things that indicate the time of the end, and we've already been through some of this. Remember 1946, Jerusalem. Become a nation again in 1967, the city of Jerusalem became controlled by Jewish people again. And out of the revised Roman Empire, I remember in the vision in the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of, and Daniel interpreted it. The very last piece was the feet with the 10 toes mixed with iron and clay. That is the revised Roman Empire. And in 1981. Greek was the final nation to go back into what you and I know as the European Union today. And it is fully functional and operating right now. And make no mistake about it, they want one thing, one world government. And we have a bunch of uber rich, crazy radical people in our nation that want it too. And they own some of the most used companies that you and I follow and use every day of our life. And out of that, remember last week we were talking about Daniel in the vision. He saw the little horn that came out of the group. That little horn is the Antichrist. And he will deceive, during his hour of the tribulation hour, he will deceive even the most elect on the planet. And what he will do, he's going to do it by introducing a peace treaty on the world, on a global scene. And guys, it's going to suck Israel right into it. And not just Israel, it'll suck the organized church. Now, I'm not talking about us as a church, but like I say this respectfully, but the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church will be pulled into this. And it will, and he will manipulate this, because we, the body of Christ, we're not here. I know some of y'all think you're going through the tribulation, and we'll let you. You can write a book about it. But I'm not going through it. See, one of the Antichrist's primary weapons, and you can see this being, you can see the stage being set right now. One of his primary weapons that he will use in these last day events is the redistribution of wealth to all that lack, and everybody. I mean, look, they want it now. Free education, free. All you got to do is say free. Guys, nothing's free. Some of this stimulus money that they've all been passing out, your kids gonna have to pay for that. Nothing's free. But you got a group of people that have bought into that stuff, and it is 100% princes of Persia, princes of different regions governing and manipulating people. Please hear me. And he will deceive even the most brilliant minds on the planet. Watch this, Revelation chapter 13. Let me show you. Verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark in the right hand or the forehead. And no one will be able to buy or sell except they have the mark. Now, I know everybody freaks out about the mark. What's the mark? What's the mark? Hey, let me borrow your phone for a second, Wendy. Right here's your mark, y'all. You don't need a chip. You got it right here. If you have a smartphone, they know every move you make right now. And are you ready for my end time conspiracy, my little conspiracy nugget? Is yours a retinal scan device that opens it up with your eye? The new ones are. And guess what? That's all they need. You walk into any room in any building anywhere, and boom, just like with the technology from this time to next year will be so advanced it will blow your mind. I'm telling you, the stage is now. Am I saying we're at the end? Yeah. But we don't know when, okay? The Lord, no, we don't know any of that, and I'm not predicting anything. But he says that he will, you won't be able to buy or sell or do anything. The stage is being set for these things right now. One of the final things that you see that is in Daniel's vision that he saw was Armageddon. In verses 40 down through 45, in that area right there, I've got to hurry up, y'all. I'm going to run out of time, so just let me get you some of these nuggets real quick. But Armageddon is actually a three-phase military campaign. Three phases. The first one will be this Russian Arab Federation that will come in, and they will attack the Antichrist and they want to eliminate, because this one world government at this time. And they fail. And then the second phase in Ezekiel chapter 38, Gog, Magog, Tubash, there's several cities that are in Russia right now. And it says in Ezekiel 38, that they will come against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. And the book of Revelation points to this and lets us know in the book of Revelation chapter 9, there is a 200 million man army. Russia and China, who are the most talked about two governments, planet, nations on the planet right now? Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm just giving you some food for thought. But during this conflict, the second phase of Armageddon, the Antichrist actually gets killed. The Bible says in Revelation 13 that he was mortally wounded, but his deadly wound he was healed of. And when he rose from the dead, all the world marveled at him because he was the resurrected one, and they all follow him. And this sets up the stage for the final battle of Armageddon in Zechariah 14, in Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 16, where Christ appears and he destroys this global dictator. Yeah. But he at that point, when you go into chapter 12, he sets up the millennial reign at the end. But let me show you a couple things real quick. This last 3.5 years of the tribulation that people will go through. Now remember, we won't be here. Okay? And if you struggle with this, Amanda and I were talking about it a little bit today. If you have struggles, if you've been taught different things, then give me a call. Because you need to know truth. You can't just pull a scripture out and say this. It has to be supported. The Bible is the only book capable of interpreting itself. You have to be able to support it. Anything that you want to base your theology on, you have to be able to support it. And you've heard me say this ever since y'all been sitting under me. The old or the new is in the old contained. The old is in the new explained. So anytime you're going to have something of a truth, you'll see it in both books, all right? And so so if you're struggling with that, if people have taught you, no, we're going to have to go through, that's not biblical. You will not go through it. You will not go through the tribulation period. You will not, okay? But I don't have time to teach on that tonight. And I don't really need to teach on it, okay? What we need to focus on, according to Jesus, is we are to occupy till he comes back. Don't worry about when it happens. You need to occupy. You need to be about the master's work until he comes back, if it's next week or if it's another 1,000 years from now. Because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Watch this, verse, chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen. Now, this is, again, talking about the angel. And he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. What? Time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people have been completely shattered, all these things will be finished. And that's when Christ begins his reign. Isaiah chapter 2 prophesied about it. He said, he shall judge among the nations, and they will learn war no more. But until that happens, there will be things that are going to take place, you know, during that time. In verses 10 through 13 in chapter 12, you'll see this. Many shall be purified, made white, refined, but the wicked will do wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will. And from the time the daily sacrifice is taken away. Now, you have to realize, during this time, the temple has been rebuilt. They are worshiping. Jewish people are worshiping. And then the Antichrist comes in and takes over the scene. And Daniel is seeing this, and he says, from the time that the sacrifice was taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, that is the Antichrist. He stands in the temple proclaiming to be God. He said, there shall be 1,290 days. I was wondering for the longest time, what are these numbers doing in here? And then he goes on to say, and blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. What? And then we'll come back to this last verse in a minute that the angel gives Daniel some instructions. But let me wrap things up with this, okay? Because before you can get to the 1,290 days, you have to go back to what Daniel originally saw in the beginning of the book, which is also in Revelation, and Jesus talked about it, which is the 42 months, or it is 1,260 days. What is that? 3.5 years, okay? So where is this other 30 days coming from and this other 45 days coming from? Here's my thoughts on that. If you go back, because now remember, the church isn't here. So you got to go back to Jewish times. And in the Old Testament, it took 30 days to consecrate a priest. Go back and read Chronicles. It goes into great detail about how they have to do it. So I submit to you that once Jesus comes back and he's setting up things, he's going to take the first 30 days to consecrate all of his priests and get them ready to go to work. So that takes you from 1260 to 1290. But then you still have, because he said, and then blessed is he who waits and comes to 1,335. What's that all about? See, that's another 45 days. What's going on there? Well, that's when Christ, he's on the planet now. Remember, he has returned. He has defeated Satan in his camp. He has locked him into Sheol in the pit of hell. And now he's ruling. And the Bible says that he will rule with a rod of iron. And so this last 45 days, I believe that this is where Christ is judging the nations. because this is the millennial reign of Christ. You understand, guys. What have I got here? Oh, yeah, I'm good. You understand that once Christ comes back, we come back with him for 1,000 years on this planet. I know everybody thinks we're going to be in heaven. Well, if you pass away now, you will be in heaven. My mom has been living in heaven since 2000. And heaven is a real world. It's a real place. Real government. Everything's going on. Remember the image that Moses got about building the tabernacle? God showed him the real one. In the book of Revelation, you remember John? He said, I saw a new Jerusalem coming down from where? From Walmart? No, from heaven. Yeah, there's a real one. This is just a broken version of that. That's all it is. We were talking this afternoon. See, I personally believe that planet Earth, you know why there's all these other planets that are still unoccupied and nothing's going on? Planet Earth was God's seed for the first. And man fell. And Satan took over and it was stopped. But it won't be stopped after it's all done. He'll go to the next one. See, I make jokes all the time. Tracy will get to run the ring of Saturn. She likes to run. Yeah, babe, I'll be back in about 20 years. I'm going to run Saturn. You have to use your imagination. To him who is able to do above all that we could ask or imagine. Huh? So I believe this last 45 days, Christ is judging the nations. Now watch this last verse in Daniel 12. This is the angel speaking to Daniel. He says this, and I love this. But you, Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and you will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. You see, I believe with the skill and authority that Daniel operated under the governments and rulership and empires of these fallen, ungodly, heathen kings, God is going to place him. He's going to be one of the highest positions that you see on this planet for the 1,000-year reign. You remember the parable Jesus said, you've been faithful over a little, I'm going to make you ruler over 10 cities? That's not just some story, you all. That's not just some story. That's a picture. A parable is a natural example of a spiritual reality. There will be people that you and I have never met that are going to be ruling cities all over this planet. Because the body of Christ is going to be reigning on the planet. And during that, you have to understand though, during that time, humanity is still existing. Because there's going to be millions that came through the tribulation. And so for 1,000, just think how many people are going to be born in 1,000-year span. And then there's going to be us, the church. You talk about a Marvel comic story. Huh? See, I really go to extremes with this. After Jesus was resurrected, the Bible says that Jesus would just show up. Where did he come from? The other dimension. Come on, guys. The other dimension. I mean, he'd just show up in a room. He would go right through matter. And then he would have to say, fear not, guys. Don't be, it's me. Don't be scared. Because, we would freak out. You know, we saw him die. We knew he was, alive, but he's gone. And then all of a sudden you're in the room, and the Bible specifically says, and the door was locked. Whoa, Jesus, what are you doing? Where'd he come from? The other dimension. That is right here, right now. Absent from the body. We have to understand we are living in a time in history where God is positioning things. Now, you don't try to think, it's another sign. Stop looking for signs. Stop it. Just be ready. Y'all ready for this? Some rapture practice. I know. Here's what I want you to listen. I want you to get this. We are barely touching the surface of who we are as people of God. We really are. Because we're so busy. We have so much stuff going on in our lives with families and careers and all the other things that we're bombarded with. And what I want you to take away from Daniel, because see, the thing that Daniel shows us, especially in that 21 days that he was separating himself, that wasn't a one-time thing. That was a lifestyle for him. You remember how he wound up getting thrown into the lion's den? Because that was his routine. He would go and pray, and he would open up his windows in his condo, and everybody saw him. He knew who he was. A man of God in a foreign country, taken from his home by force, being forced to be educated by this ungodly, who knows who, what all they worshipped. But none of that stuff fazed him. He stood strong in who he was. And this is what I believe God is asking for the church today in 2020. Is that we take the time. See, some of you all, you're not ready to do a 21-day fast. I'm not ready to do a 21-day fast. For some of you all, you know what you could do? You could fast your devices. I felt pushback on that. I'm like, you lost your mind, preacher. Okay, try it for just a couple of hours. Get you, am I taking this too far? Get you a little basket or something at home. Now your kids will probably turn into demons when you do this, but it'll be okay. I got parents shaking their head, yep. But explain it. This is a spiritual time that we're wanting to, this is one of the things that I love about what Amanda was saying today. She's teaching her kids how to hear from God on their own. Not what mom and daddy say. Not what the preacher or the youth pastor says. Huh? Take up the devices and then set the example. Now, they're not going to like it at first if they've never been doing it. You know, they're going to buck. You may be an adult here and you've never done it. Well, you're going to fight it. Like, man, I tried that. I didn't get anything out of it. I know, but you got to try it a little bit. Huh? But what will happen? According to what the New Testament teaches us, as we behold him in his glory. This is why Jesus told Martha, hey, Mary's chosen the good thing, sitting at his feet. While we behold him, we are transformed into the very same image. But you got to turn everything off. You got to get stuff out of the way. And you got to learn how to be quiet in the presence of God. And what will happen is revelation will start coming to you. Just like he did Daniel, God will begin to show you things and speak to you about stuff, give you words of prophecy and encouragement for people. But we have to say, yes, Lord. Are you with me? All right, let me get you out of here. I know that we haven't taken up an offering yet. And so if you like giving here at the building, on your way out, we have give boxes all in the hallway. We don't pass buckets anymore. So just drop your offering there. If you're online, those of you that give online, we certainly do thank you. We were able to do a lot of wonderful things in our ministry, and we're continuing to move forward during these times because of faithful givers. And so let me pray over you all, over your finances. Let me pray over you all watching, and then we'll get you guys out of here. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for faithful, committed givers that are advancing the kingdom of heaven. And so tonight, Lord, may your blessing be on the giver. Open up the windows of heaven for them. May they receive such an abundance to do the things that you've called them to do, for us to do, for your glory, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Now listen, you guys go out this week, and when you have some time, I know you're kind of studying Daniel a little bit. Stay in it. God will show you some stuff in this. And then don't forget for your homework on Sunday. What is it? Ephesians. Okay. We love y'all. God bless you.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to click on the subscribe button. For more information on Victory Life Church, check us out at victorylifeky.com. Thank you so much for listening.